Church. It is so good to see all of you on this 8th Sunday, and we are glad that you are with us this morning. And thankfully, it's a little cooler out, and we're grateful for that, even though the humidity is still up some. And thankful for the rain that we got again. But we are so glad that you're here today. We're going to be continuing our series on clinging to hope when we're facing situations in life. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about thorny experiences. So we want to welcome those that may be tuning in online later in the week also. We are thankful that where two or three are always gathered in His name, that Christ is always present with us. So let's stand and join together as we sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory.
join together for our call to worship this morning. Sing songs of hope and peace. Sing songs of mercy and grace.
God's mercy and forgiveness.
Sing praises to God who never leaves us. Thanks be to God for all love and mercy. Let's join together there. And if you're in your hymn books, it's 596. Stand up for Jesus this morning. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin today. We sing and voice our praise to you, O God, grateful for the many ways you have blessed us. Keep our minds and hearts open to your ways as we face the trials of life. Open our minds and hearts so that we may see as you see and love as you love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're going to be going to that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. We're going to be singing all five verses today, 429 there, or on the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
going to invite our kids to come down this morning if they would make their way. Good morning. Man, everybody looks so wonderful this morning. The girls all have beautiful dresses on. And Oliver's got his nice khaki and polo shirt. You guys are looking sharp today. Okay, I've got a question for you. Have you ever got a splinter in your finger? Yeah. Does that feel wonderful and make you want to jump up and down and laugh and say, yippee? No, not at all. Not at all. And in fact, sometimes when you press on it, it's like, oh, it hurts. And then the worst, and I remember when I was your age, I got one stuck, and I couldn't, the end wasn't sticking out, you know, because sometimes you can take the little tweezers, get a hold of it. Have you ever had mom and dad get a hold of the very end of it and pull it out? One time, I couldn't get it. There was no end. It was buried completely in my finger. Guess what my dad had to do? Got a little pin and stuck underneath and started to open a little hole to pull it to get it up so that it would, and then you kind of go, you know, you kind of push this way back on it to get it to pop out, and then if it pops out of that little hole that you made, then you can get a hold of it with the tweezers and pull it out. And you're like, ah, phew. That feels better. Because those things hurt. Now, I've let them in for a while, and then they kind of start festering a little bit, and they'll kind of come to the surface on their own, because our bodies are kind of made that way to get things out that are not supposed to be there. But I tell you what, they're just annoying, aren't they? Yes, they're just sore, and they just bug you. Well, guess what? Good old Apostle Paul, who wrote about one-third of the books in the New Testament, talks about a thorn that he had in his body. Now, he wasn't talking about a little one, but he used that because everybody knows what it's like if you get a sticker or a thorn. Or, you know, you touch a bush and it, you know, or something, you know, you get stuck and it stings a little, or a bee sting, or any of those kind of things like that. And he said that I had this thorn in my body and it just annoyed me and tormented me. It's crazy. And notice what it says up there. He says, I pleaded with God three times for it to leave me alone. And notice what God said. God didn't say, no problem, Paul, I'll just take it away and you won't have any more problems with it. No, what did God say? My grace is enough for you. Because power is made perfect in weakness. Nobody likes to be weak. Nobody likes to feel weak. I mean, I remember as a kid, there was times I felt weak because I wasn't strong enough physically, emotionally. I can handle this. I can make it through. And then what doesn't help is when friends come along, you thought were friends that make fun of you because you weren't strong enough. It's one thing to feel down because you're not strong enough, physically or mentally or emotionally. But it's another thing that even hurts worse when your friends make fun of you because of it. Well, Paul, he does something so unique
is he turns it upside down. And you know what he says? I'm going to boast when I'm weak. When do we usually boast? When do we usually tell something about ourselves? I got first place in the track meet. I stopped 5 goals in the soccer meet.
Bryn's a goalie, I found out.
I knew she was on the soccer team, but I found out this morning, you know. Or, I hit that ball and made it to second base. I got a double. That's when we usually brag and say things, isn't it? But what did Paul say? He says, I'm going to brag about God when I'm weak. And why was that? Because he says, and he says it a little bit different, that last line there, because power is made perfect in weakness. A little bit later, he says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. How's that possible? Because God's grace and power is with us when we're weak. We're not alone. We're not alone. So, what about us? When we're weak and can't do something, how do we get help? I don't know about you, but it was always mom, dad, grandpa, even grandma, and my older brothers and sisters. That helped me when I was your age. And I wasn't strong enough to do something. Guess what? Paul says, God's grace and power helps us when we feel weak. Guess what? All human beings are weak. Even us adults are weak at times. There are some things not only can't lift, but I shouldn't lift because of my back. Or there are times in the past few weeks where we were facing something as a family and I felt weak and it made me anxious and worried. You ever felt that way? But guess what? This week, I didn't feel that way because God gave me strength. God's power, God's grace helped me. And God will do that for you too. Sometimes we may face that and we realize, okay, I can't do this on my own. I need help. And then somebody comes along, a coach or parents or grandparents or a friend or whoever, and they help you and then you're strong. And you're like, I can do this next time. And guess what? A lot of times, maybe you can. But sometimes we maybe can't, at least for a while. That's okay. We don't have to be ashamed or feel afraid or anxious because we feel weak. Because when we're weak, that's when God's power and grace is strong in our lives. Now, can I tell you what that's like? Not exactly. But I can tell you, I just felt stronger this week with what we were facing. And I don't think it was me, because I hadn't changed that much. So I think it was God's grace and power helping me to feel stronger and do better. All right. You can head downstairs this morning.
As we go to our time of prayer, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share, and we will let you have an opportunity to do that. And so somebody wants to begin. I always look to the left first, so whoever, I don't know why I do that. Maybe it's because I'm left-handed, I don't know. So we'll look over here. Yep, go ahead, Nancy.
I would like to ask for prayer for Katie Mason.
Yep. Pray for strength and grace for her. Yes. She needs that right now. Someone else? Yep. Okay. Somebody else? Yep.
From the prayer team, we have, you have Don Chung and Ron, but we need to pray for Carmel too. Even though she's swimming from cancer for your folks, she said it's just so much to go be with him. And Jody, and maybe you'll update us, and Greta, that fell and broke her toes. And then some people know Noah Harmon. She fell and broke a lot of bones in both her hands.
What is his first name again?
Noah.
Noah, okay. Yeah, well, that's until those fires are out. That's did you name a person between Jody and Bretta?
Brenda Sherman.
Oh, Brenda. Okay. 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 All right. I'll say more about Don in a minute. That's why he's on the prayer chain. Somebody else. Yep. Nola?
Nola.
Okay, sorry.
And I can give you an update. She had to have a plate and five screws put in her hand.
Okay. Okay, somebody else? Yep.
Dolores is having lots of foot pain.
Ah. Remember Dolores. Someone else? Yep. Unspoken. Okay. Anybody else? What's that? Yes, I have them marked down, the soldiers that we were lost there. And I think it's, you said Jordan? Yeah. Somebody else? We definitely can pray for Canada and those wildfires, and that's a mess. They were talking about all the loss of those homes and everything up there where that forest fire is. Prayers for Don. I'm telling you, that guy has had one thing after another. It started off with back surgery and ended up getting broken ribs, and had the back surgery and couldn't recover properly and get rehab because of the broken ribs. And then he got a urinary tract infection while in rehab. And now they found out his gallbladder's got to come out. And he's been in pain from that. So tomorrow he is having gallbladder surgery. Here's the thing. We need to pray for strength and him getting through it, because Brenda told me he's still very weak from that infection he had. But they got to get the gallbladder out. Now, I'm sure they'll, hopefully they can just do the, arthroscopic and just three go in and pull it out and get it out of there. Brenda's going to be letting me know more about that probably later today or in the morning. And so he really needs our prayers big time. And so that he can get some strength back and then recover. And appreciate your prayers for him. Anybody else before appreciate so much your kindness, the ladies and the missions team, just little cards, and some of the other folks in the church that participated in that, just little cards of encouragement and prayer. And I tell you what, I could really sense it a lot this week. Jody did have a couple interviews, and we'll see where that goes, because, you know, she had interviews before, and that one we thought highly of, and it went nowhere. So we are just appreciate, thank you so much for your encouragement. Brooklyn is Jody's niece, who has been having all kinds of health issues, and she is once again back in the hospital and just needs prayers. And really, the doctors need, there needs to be wisdom and getting a clue about what is causing all of this, because they keep treating symptoms, but they're not figuring out why a month later she's in the hospital again, and a month later she's in the hospital again. And so we really appreciate your prayers for her and this morning. So anybody else? Lots of names there that's been mentioned, and maybe you came in today facing something and you want to talk to the Lord about that during the, while Carla's playing, I'd encourage you to do that. And I will come and pray at the end there and join with your prayers and who you pray for that comes to your mind this morning. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you do watch over us, even much more than the sparrow that you watch over. Thank you that you love us dearly and you draw us closer to you, inviting us to trust in you and in your plan and what you want to do in our lives and through our lives, to minister to others. As we pause this morning and pray, we lift up those that have been mentioned. We pray for Katie today, that you would grant your grace and strength to her. For Brenda, Lord, for continued strength and recovery. For Don, Lord, who's going to be going in for surgery, gallbladder surgery tomorrow, that you will guide and that you will direct and that you will give him strength, that he'll be able to go through the surgery and come out the other side and he'll begin to recover and become stronger. And Lord, that he can recover fully, Lord. We pray for Jody, God, asking that you would just open up that door that for that job, Lord, that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. We pray for Bretta, God, that you will continue to bring healing and touch and strength and grace to her. For Nola, Lord, that you will bring grace and faith and healing and recovery and strength there. For Bill and Shauna, God, that you will continue to just give them your strength and grace. For Dolores this morning, God, that you will touch her and give her healing and strength today. For Brooklyn, Lord, that you will touch her in her body, Lord. Give wisdom and guidance to the doctors that they can figure out what is going on and why she keeps having these issues. Lord, that you would bring healing touch and grace and strength for her. Lord, we lift up the unspoken needs this morning, God. The two that were acknowledged and maybe others that have come in today facing needs. Lord, that you will minister and extend your grace and your touch. Whatever those needs are today, that we will reach out and touch the hem of your garment today, Jesus. And that we will be made whole, or answers will come, doors will open, grace will extend, love will extend, forgiveness will extend, whatever the need may be today. Your hand with us. Lord, we pray for the families of those soldiers that were lost in Jordan, God. We pray for your comfort, your touch, and your hand be with them. And we continue to pray for peace and recovery, reconciliation, whatever may need to be done there with the fighting that's going on. Not only between the U.S. and Iran and other countries involved there, but also we think about Ukraine and Russia and Israel and the surrounding areas. Lord, we know that violence only perpetuates violence. So we ask that there will be a ceasing of violence, and somehow there will be a mending in a way that can be resolved, the conflicts in the right ways. Lord, we pray for the families in Canada, especially on that southern end there where the forest fires are, that we've been feeling the effects of, God. All the loss, the devastation. God, we pray for your grace and your wisdom and your guidance. Thank you for groups and churches and ministries and all kinds that are on the ground probably trying to help in whatever way that they can. We're thankful for that today also. Thank you that in the middle of the summer, when we can enjoy the weather and we've been on vacations or we're going to be going on vacations and all that's involved or different activities, thank you that we can come together as the community of faith, the Christ community, and that you are with us, and that you give us peace and reassurance as we gather in your name today. Jesus, thank you for all of these things today. Bless the rest of our time as we break the bread of your word. May it feed our souls. May it renew our minds. May faith arise in our hearts. Encourage to go forth to serve you in our world and make a difference. Thank you for these things now as we do ask them. In Jesus' name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. thank you for praying with us this morning. And I'm looking forward to hearing some good news for those that we prayed for today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and your generosity as God has led you and gifted you and blessed you. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Gracious God, we are so grateful for all that we enjoy in this world. Bless the offering we bring today, that it may express your love for our church, community, and world through Christ. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, as we are reading through a longer section here. The beginning part in chapter 11 kind of gives us a little bit of a context of what Paul is dealing with. So between 1 Corinthians, where Paul wrote a letter that he addressed issues, it almost seems like they ask him questions and he responds through that letter to things that they're wanting to know about in the church setting and worship and faith and everything. But between 1 and 2 Corinthians, something happened. And I'll say a little bit more about that. And so 2 Corinthians, we see Paul really bare his soul to them. And sometimes he's got to correct them in the middle of it. And so, in fact, when I was saying something to the kids earlier about boasting, that's one of the big themes in 2 Corinthians. So let's begin there in chapter 11, verse 16, and we're going to read through chapter 12, verse 10. I don't want any of you to think I am a fool. Scholars call this passage the fool's speech because he's addressing those that have influenced the Corinthian church. But if you do, then let me be a fool and brag a little. When I do all this bragging, I do it as a fool and not for the Lord. Yet if others want to brag about what they have done, so will I. And since you are smart, you will gladly put up with a fool. In fact, you'll let people make slaves of you and cheat you and steal from you. Why? You even let them strut around and slap you in the face. I'm ashamed to say we are too weak to behave in such a way. If they can brag, so can I. But it is a foolish thing to do. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Judeans? So am I. Are they from the family of Abraham? Well, so am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a fool to talk this way, but I serve him better than they do. I have worked harder and have been put in jail more times. I have been beaten with whips more and have been in danger of death more often. 5 times my own people gave me 39 lashes with a whip. 3 times the Romans beat me with a big stick. And once my enemies stoned me. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. And I have even had to spend a night and a day in the sea. During my many travels, I have been in danger from rivers, robbers, my own people, and foreigners. My life has been in danger in cities and deserts, at sea, and with people who only pretended to be the Lord's followers. I have worked and struggled and spent many sleepless nights. I have gone hungry and thirsty and often had enough to eat. I have been cold from having not had enough clothes to keep me warm. Besides everything else, each day I am burdened down, worry about all the churches. When others are weak, I am weak too. When others are tricked into sin, I get angry. If I have to brag, I will brag about how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, knows I am not lying. And God is to be praised forever. The governor of Damascus at the time of King Aretas had the city gates guarded so he could capture me. But I escaped by being let down in a basket through a window in the city wall. I have to brag. There is nothing to be gained by it, but I must brag about the visions and other things the Lord has shown me. I know about one of Christ's followers who was taken up into the third heaven 14 years ago. I don't know if the man was still in his body when it happened, but God certainly knows. And I said, only God really knows of this man when he's in his body at the time. But he was taken up into paradise where he had heard things too wonderful to tell. I will brag about that man, but not about myself, except to say how weak I am. Yet even if I did brag, I would not be foolish. I would simply be speaking the truth. But I will try not to say too much. That way, none of you will think more highly of me than you should because of what you have seen me do and say. Of course, I am now referring to the wonderful things I saw. One of Satan's angels was sent to thorn my flesh and make me suffer terribly, so that I would not feel too proud. Three times I begged the Lord to make this suffering go away, but he replied, my grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So if Christ keeps giving me his power, I will gladly brag about how weak I am. Yes, I am glad to be weak or insulted or mistreated or have troubles and suffering if it is for Christ. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Wow, that was a long reading this morning. But that is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would bless the reading of the word and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Oh, I sure am happy to see you, a little boy said to his grandmother on his mother's side. Maybe Daddy will do the trick he has been promising us. The grandmother was curious. What trick is that? She asked. Oh, I heard him tell Mommy that he would climb the wall if you came to visit us. Don't you just love kids? I want to talk to you this morning, hope for thorny experiences. Why do life's roses have thorns? Why does life come with pain and suffering and difficulties? Some of us here today may be struggling with physical or emotional pain. Some of us may be carrying heavy burdens or regrets that no one else knows about. We may ask, why doesn't God just fix this? Why doesn't God just remove this? Why does God's answer seem to be no? The Apostle Paul wrestled with these very questions when he confronts some rival teachers in Corinth. Super apostles, he calls them. If we would have read a few more verses, you would have heard him say that they were super apostles who had invaded the community with their boastful, visionary, persuasive, alternative gospel that made Paul look bad. To counter some of their ways, Paul discusses issues like pain, trials, pride, and thorns. He even suggests God at times may allow thorns to come our way to keep our pride in check for our own benefit. Let's look at it this morning. Two things. The perils of pride. The perils of pride. What's Paul talking about through all of this? And he's using this as an illustration because he's wanting the Corinthians to see that these people that had invaded the congregation and were trying to persuade them in certain ways were doing it out of pride and arrogance and boastfulness. And so it makes me think of beware of the seduction of self-importance. There are many perils on the road of life, but one peril that Scripture often confronts and talks about is arrogance, conceit, pride, the elevation of self, or today we hear it a lot, narcissists. For it makes us careless, unaware of our weaknesses, and insensitive to others. And when one harbors an arrogant or smug attitude, Scripture tells us that an unsteady life is not far behind in one sphere or another. Now, let me say something. I don't think Paul is talking about taking pride in our accomplishments or telling our children or grandchildren that we're proud of them. But I think he is addressing when we let things go to our... when we think we're better, smarter, more important than others, or God. Don't let things go to our head. And why is that Paul is warning them about all this? Because self-importance can be spiritually dangerous. Proverbs warns that pride and arrogance give rise to disaster and falling, or one translation says tottering. How many of you remember? I think there's enough of you here that remember teeter-totters when you were in elementary school. And there was always the one kid that when we were on either side that would jump up on the middle and ride it, you know, like a surfboard, tottering. Whoa. Proverbs seems to be saying that, hey, when we go down that path, we can be tottering in life and maybe fall. Pride quietly whispers, I really don't need God. I got this. I'm better than them. I'm more Christian than them. But as we know, pride has brought down kings, leaders, millionaires, everyday average folks, even corporations, big businesses. Pride affects people of all ages, but especially the highly intelligent, the greatly gifted, and if I may say, the deeply religious. And God's medicine for pride is a hard pill to swallow. When I was growing up and we were working with the cattle, and some of you that have worked with cattle and different livestock, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we had to give them boluses, which was a pill about this big. And somebody had invented a gun, which was just a little thing. Remember those things where you could pop things out? That's what it was. You pull it back, you stick that pill in there, and my brother would take his hand inside the steer's mouth and shove that thing back in there as far as he could, and poof, to get it to swallow it. And what does Paul say the big pill to swallow for those with pride is? Thorns. Thorns. But guess what? Thorns have a purpose. They're not fun. They're not easy. They hurt. They rub us the wrong way. What do they do? What's their purpose? Paul tells us. They humble us. Therefore, listen to Paul's words. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, a thorn was given me in my body, a messenger of Satan to torment me and keep me from being conceited. Wow. Now, I don't know all the answers to that, what he just said right there. I don't know what that is, but I can tell you twice Paul gives the reason why he was given a thorn in his body, to keep me from being conceited. We don't know exactly what the thorn was, but scholars have suggested some type of physical malady, misery, or maltreatment, or whatever. Scripture doesn't tell us what it is. Perhaps God wants us to identify our own thorns by keeping it vague. But here's the thing I want you to see, and there's kind of two things that go along here, is that God gives us grace for thorny times. God didn't say to Paul, don't worry, Paul, I'll explain it all. Or he didn't say, don't worry, Paul, I'll take care of it and remove it. No, God simply says, my grace is enough. God's grace will sustain us through such times. And often we want more. Yet again, my grace is enough. The other part that kind of goes along with humbling, but also God's grace, is this. Thorns weaken us, but Christ empowers us. For power is made perfect in weakness. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? So I'll gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may dwell in me. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. This is one of the greatest Christian paradoxes. The world says, be strong, be smart, be independent, which nothing wrong necessarily with all those things. But the world also says, never let anyone see your weaknesses. I think Paul would differ with that. Yet Paul boasts about his weaknesses. In two other places in his letters, he tells us about his poor eyesight. I'm thinking about my sister-in-law for some reason. I remember when I was a kid and I saw her one day at the house without her contacts in. Her glasses, I swear, were this thick. Now, maybe that was back in the 70s and that's why. Because they're a lot thinner today. And he also talks about when people were making fun of him the way he spoke. Wait a minute. The Apostle Paul? The great writer? Okay, let me tell you something. When I was in college and seminary, it was always great to have a gifted professor that could write greatly in his books or her books and teach greatly in class. But I had those professors that wrote books, but they were horrible teachers in class because they couldn't speak, but they were great writers. And I almost wonder if Paul is saying that. Here's this great, and when you go through Acts, you see his preaching sermons that Luke would tell us about, and you're like, how could they have made fun of him like that? God says, power is made perfect in weakness. And it reminds me of Jesus' victory over sin and death by giving his life. Or his words where he says, the last will be first, the humble will be exalted. Or when Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Why? Because weakness forces us to depend on God. Sometimes, I've learned a lot of this week, or last few weeks, maybe even before that. God lets us reach the end of ourselves so we'll discover hope for thorny experiences in life. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another, shake a few hands, extend the grace, and then we'll close out with our chorus, "We Worship and Adore You." Let's sing it this morning. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise are singing, hallelujah's ringing. Hallelujah, 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 amen. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise are singing, hallelujah's ringing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing that hallelujah part again. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Well, let's join together for our benediction. As we leave this place, may we keep our eyes open for God at work in the world. May God be with us, Christ walk beside us, and the Spirit guide us this week and always. Amen. Amen.